Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I told the kids, Palm Sunday was a special day for Jerusalem because that was the day when Jesus came to town. It was a day when the whole town pulled out all the stops because they were ready to declare Jesus as king. They threw a parade. It was a parade like the kind reserved for dignitaries, and it was complete with palm branches and a crowd cheering, "Hail, Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The shortened version of that is Hosanna. They were so proud of Jesus. They wanted everybody to see their allegiance to him. And as I think back on that day and on that week, I wonder if that particular crowd even thought of their cheering devotion later on that week when so many turned against Jesus. They were the ones numbered in the crowd who cried for his death, "Crucify him." I wonder if they remembered that happy parade just a few days later when Jesus again went through the streets of Jerusalem, not with the coat of a donkey bearing Jesus' weight this time, but with Jesus bearing the weight of a cross. A cross is heavy enough to carry at any time, but almost too heavy this time as Jesus carried the weight of our sins, yours, mine, and the sins of the whole world, to that place where God's fury and vengeance on our sinful lives would be justly satisfied. That place where God would be satisfied. To that place where all who would desire Christ's forgiveness must go in order to receive Christ's righteousness. To the cross. To the place where Jesus willingly suffered and died an innocent and sinless death. We're on the other side of the crucifixion. We know about the resurrection. We know that Jesus' death was not the end. We know that Jesus raised from the dead and conquered the power of the devil's sinful hold on us. Christ followers know that because of Jesus' resurrection, death is not the end for any of those who put their trust and confidence in Christ. Christ followers also know that Jesus will be coming to town again. Jesus said it himself. The Bible quotes Jesus in John 14:3 when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a reassuring promise Jesus gives to those who love him. There's also a promise in the Bible for everyone whether they love Jesus or not, whether they go to heaven when they die or not. That promise is in Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is not universal salvation. What that is a promise that everyone who has ever lived, whether they have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior or not, whether they go to heaven or not, everyone will admit for all of eternity that Jesus is Lord, and they will confess him to be the Lord of all of heaven and of earth. This is not new. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 3, 17 to 21, we are told as the church to warn people of their need for God, to warn people of the sins that separate them from God, and to warn them of the judgment of God that is to come. We need to remember this for ourselves too. By warning other people, we help to save ourselves and maybe them too. Some people don't like to be reminded of their separation from God. They don't like us telling them that God is coming back and that there will be a judgment. But the Bible says that if we refuse to warn them, then we are held responsible for their eternal death. That's a bigger load than what I want to carry. As Christ followers, we need to show and tell people about Jesus and his love. We need to show and tell people about his forgiveness of our sins so that they will consider turning to Jesus for forgiveness of their sins too. If you don't care about somebody else's soul, at least care about your own. Look for the opportunities that God is giving you to show Jesus' love and forgiveness and to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness before it's too late. It seems to me that the government school systems make a science out of proving to children that God did not create the world. What our government school systems today teach children about creation is nothing new and is not modern in any sense of the word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 talks about creation and talks about how people forgot how God had created the world. Their attitude was that Jesus had taken too long to return and he would not be coming back. Peter addresses that in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 8. Peter says, in the last days, scoffers will come. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Creation is an important part of this reading. Peter goes on to say, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters. Also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. That's a reference to the flood that we read about back in Genesis. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And next, Peter says something that seems to come clear out of left field. And he says this to us. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. According to the Bible, There is approximately a 4,000-year period between the creation of the world and the birth of Jesus. Our calendars begin with the approximate birth of Jesus. 4,000 plus 2,000 equals 6,000, like 6 days. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We are well past the year 2000 on our calendars. Now remember the one thing Peter told us not to forget. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Jewish calendar is different from ours. It begins with God's creation of the world. According to the Jewish calendar, this is the year 5,782. According to the Jewish calendar, this earth was created 5,782 years ago. Neither our calendar or the Jewish calendar can be accurately validated, but we are definitely close to the time when Jesus will return. Jesus is coming to town. Revelation 20 tells us that when Jesus does return, this world will be at peace and will rest from war and from temptation for the next 1,000 years. And on the seventh day, God rested. Jesus could return at any time. Jesus told his disciples, "No man knows the day or the hour." Church, we have work to do. God wants to work in us, and God wants to work through us as his witnesses, so that all people hear the news and have the opportunity to turn to Jesus for salvation. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be looking forward to Jesus' return. Christians should not have to be afraid of Christ's return. In 2 Peter 3:14, Peter says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." Here's a true story. On December 16th, 1811, a massive earthquake rocked the southern United States. Its tremors and aftershocks spread so far as to make church bells ring in Philadelphia. Tennessee's Real Foot Lake was formed by the upheaval of this earthquake. Methodist preacher Peter Cartwright, one of America's itinerant evangelists, recorded several earthquake experiences in his autobiography. Cartwright had been converted through the Cane Ridge Revival and subsequently traveled throughout the South and Midwest for almost 70 years, preaching, spreading revival, and starting churches. He wrote this about the earthquake. "It seemed to stop the current of the Mississippi, broke flatboats loose from their moorings, and opened large cracks in the earth." Now, this earthquake struck terror to thousands of people, and under the mighty panic, hundreds and thousands crowded to and joined the different churches. There were many interesting incidences connected with the shaking of the earth at this time, back in 1811. Cartwright went on to write, "I had preached in Nashville the night before the second dreadful shock came to a large congregation. Early the next morning, I rose and walked out on a hill near the house where I had preached. I saw a slave woman coming down the hill to the spring with an empty pail on her head. When she got within a few yards of where I stood, the earth began to tremble, chimneys were thrown down, scaffolding around many new buildings fell with a loud crash, and hundreds of citizens suddenly awoke, running into the streets. Loud screaming followed, for many thought the day of judgment had come. The young mistress of the slave woman came running after her and begging her to pray for them. The slave woman raised a shout and said to them, "My Jesus is coming in the clouds of heaven, and I cannot stop to pray for you now. I must go and meet him. I told you so that he would come, and you would not believe me. Farewell. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming and I am ready. Hallelujah. Amen." And on she went, shouting and clapping her hands with the empty pail on her head. True story. When Jesus returns, how are you going to act? Will you take his name in vain by shouting, oh my God, as you run around in circles in terror? Or will you say to this world, farewell, hallelujah, my Jesus is coming and I am ready. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen. Please pray with me. Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. And help us use this time to be ready. We don't know when you'll return. But help us to be ready. Help us use this time to not only turn to you for forgiveness and salvation, but to invite others as well, so that we can say, Jesus is coming and we are ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.